I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Right, you may be seated. Well, wait. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege of assembling ourselves before you. We pray that tonight you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. May we be encouraged and strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
Amen. Great. It's wonderful to be back home. Amen. And it's a blessing. Powerful. Bring you greetings from Dr. Cho. And it was a wonderful time. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Amen. And I believe God is moving us on to great and great and greater things. Hallelujah. Right. Now, on Wednesdays, we've been talking about serving the Lord, isn't it? It is a great thing to serve the Lord. And we've been going through chapter by chapter to understand why serving the Lord is such a great thing. Amen. Especially in a time when many people do not think it is necessary at all to serve the Lord. Many people would rather serve themselves or serve some other god if they must serve a god. But some other god other than the one and only true God whom they must serve. Amen. So that makes you and I odd. Makes us odd because we are somewhat the minority. We are in the minority because most people do not do what we are doing. Most people find us weird. They find us, they think we're different. They think there's something wrong with us. They think that we are probably out of touch with reality or that we don't even have anything to do and or that we don't love life. Some people think we are depressed and we don't really have anything to do. That's why we go to church. That's why we serve the Lord. That's why we sing songs. Some think we're needy. We're poor. You know, there's so many reasons why people, reasons that people ascribe to our service of the Lord. Amen. But you and I need to have a deep understanding. Amen. One, to be able to explain to somebody why we're doing what we're doing. The Bible says we must have a readiness to answer anybody who questions us on account of our faith, why we believe the things we believe and why we do the things we do. Amen. And then the second reason why you need to have a good and deep understanding of why you are serving the Lord is for the difficult patches you go through in your service of the Lord. Amen. Because serving the Lord is not always an easy road. You encounter bumps on the road as you serve the Lord. And some of them are real big bumps, deep ones that really shake you to your core. And your core better be anchored to something. Do you understand? You need to be holding on to something in order to survive some of those difficult curves and some of those difficult bumps. It's like flying on a plane. You know, most of the journey is smooth, most of it. But you get to these places where you start to experience turbulence. And that's when they start announcing whatever they're doing, they stop. And they tell everybody, put on your seatbelt. It's like to survive this patch, you know, you need to be strapped to where you are sitting. Do you get it? Otherwise, you will be displaced by the turbulence. And it is very easy to be displaced or dislodged by turbulent situations, unexpected situations, and unexplainable situations. Things that don't make sense to you, things that you can't easily sort of wrap your mind around and you can't easily explain them. Those things tend to dislodge us and they tend to displace us, actually. And so that is why you need to be strapped. Do you see what I'm saying? So what I'm sharing with you is very important. And all of us must have a good grasp of the reason why it is such a great thing to serve the Lord. So that no matter what comes your way, and no matter what happens with the passage of time, you will still remain faithful and anchored to what you believe. Amen. And you will continue to serve Him. Say amen. Amen. All right. So, I think the last time we were talking about you will serve and He will bless, isn't it? It is a great thing to serve the Lord because you will serve and He will bless, isn't it? And we went through how that God will bless your bread and your water. Amen. God has promised to bless your bread and your water. So give Him a chance. Amen. Call upon Him to bless it. Call upon Him to bless your food. Call upon Him to bless what you drink because He promised that He will bless it. And by so doing, He will take sickness and disease from among us. Hallelujah. He will remove sickness and disease by blessing our bread and our water. So we must continue to bless our food and our water. Amen. Then it is a great thing to serve the Lord because there will be no end, no barrenness amongst you. So that's about fruitfulness. Number three is that you shall serve and He will bless. You will live long. Amen. Amen. Because God has promised. He says, ye shall serve the Lord your God and He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. Hallelujah. And the number of thy days I will fulfill. So he's talking here about premature death and premature exit. Amen. From life. And God says, the number of your days I will fulfill. That means as many days as God has ordained for you to live, God will fulfill it. No one will cut it short. No witchcraft can cut your days short. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Then the next thing is that the blessing of the Lord will cause you to become a blessing to others. Now, this is a very important one, amen, because God's purpose for blessing us is also so that we can become a blessing to others, amen. And I want you to make it your aim to be a blessing to others. Make it your vision to be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. And as long as you reach forth and reach out to others, God will ensure that you will always have, isn't it? Because you will never be able to give if you don't have. Do you get it? So when you are a giver, or when you have become one who blesses others, means you yourself are always blessed. What do you think? Means you yourself are always blessed. And that will be your story in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then the next one is that blessings will come on you and overtake you. Blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. That's a very powerful blessing also, and benefit of serving the Lord. The scripture says, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Amen. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So God says that for his servants, he will bless you. The blessings will go ahead of you. Amen. You know, on our way here, I was reading an article about the royal family. You could have guessed, right? Anyone reading anything seriously these days is reading about the royal family. So anyway, I was reading something about them, and I was reading about their wealth. And they had listed all the members of the royal family. It's not a very large family, but, you know, just the grandparents and then the, you know, all the way down to the little ones. And they were talking about the little ones, and they were saying that the little ones already have started to live a very lavish life. They are going to daycare. They go to daycare centers that cost like $24,000 a year, you know, and something like that, you know. And there was one of them who's, they said when she was born, the girl, what's her name? Charlotte, Princess Charlotte, right. They said that she stirred up about $3.5 billion worth of activity when she was born. Do you understand? Yeah. Presents, news items, interviews, all the things that her birth generate add up to that. And then they said even the one who was born 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, something Lewis, Charles Lewis, I think he's called, he already has racked up about a few hundred millions, you know, something like that. No, these are people whom blessings have overtaken. Do you get it? The blessing is way ahead of them. You get it? Before they will even ever need it, their lives are already blessed. Hallelujah. But you don't need to belong to that royal family to be blessed. The greater royal family to belong to is the one we all belong to. The Bible says we are a chosen generation and we are a royal priesthood. Do you understand? We are a peculiar people that God has chosen to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. Hallelujah. So God says that blessings will overtake you. And so you should believe that as you live this life, there are blessings that are ahead of you. That should wipe out worry about the future. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if you bring it down and break it down into the physical realm, if you're a member of the royal family with this kind of blessing with this kind of status, one of the things that you won't find in your life is worry. Do you get it? You will not worry about what to eat, what to wear, whether you'll have something to drive, a place to stay. You know, you'll not worry about those kinds of things. Not because you see them, but because your status guarantees them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not because this Princess Charlotte and so on, they don't know all these things. They don't even see them. Do you get it? But your status guarantees them. There's a big difference between Princess Charlotte and one of those little boys walking around looking very hungry. Do you get it? Standing somewhere, young boy, but he's in deep thoughts about what's going to happen tonight. What is he going to eat for dinner? Or you know, things like that. He's hungry. Have you seen any of those photos? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. See a young black kid standing by the roadside. Yeah, and sometimes they're also white, but you just see kids standing by the roadside in deep thought about very basic things, what to eat, what to wear. Do you see what I'm saying? But the other kids whom blessings have overtaken, those ones don't have to have such a worry. Hallelujah. So if you bring it into the spiritual realm, then your life must have that characteristic, that your faith must let you develop a worry-free life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus said we must take no thought for the morrow. Take no thought for the morrow. That means do not worry about the future. You know, and when you worry about the future, you really place yourself at a disadvantage. You give the devil an advantage over you because you have now ventured into an arena where he can really manipulate you. Because you can't see the future. You don't know what is there. And you have sort of extended yourself and your concerns into that arena. Do you get it? So you sort of make yourself vulnerable because then you can be played. You get it? You can be played. You can be saddled with all sorts of fears that you will grow up to find were actually unfounded. Totally. You can be scared of things that don't even exist. Things that have no intention of showing up in your future at all. Do you understand? Yeah. You take somebody who is worried that they may not have a child. From now, they are starting to worry now that they may not have a child. You sentence yourself to many, many years of unnecessary fears because you will find when you get there that you have a child. Do you understand? And you start to wonder at that point, why were you so concerned and why were you so worried about something you didn't even have to worry about at all? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it is a very important thing to be strong in, amen, that God says he will bless you, blessings will overtake you. You're going to have things you don't even need. I tell you, you're going to have things you don't need. Yes, and you'll be looking for someone you can give them to. You'll be looking for someone to bless with those things. Hallelujah. It's a blessing, and God has promised it to his servants. Say amen. Now, I'm moving on to the next thing, which is the next reason why it is great to serve the Lord. And that is that it is not in vain. It is a great thing to serve the Lord because it is not in vain. Right? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always doing something for the Lord. Always intensely engaged in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, be ye steadfast. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Abounding in the work of the Lord sounds to me like someone who is really busy. What do you think? Someone who has a lot of things to do for God. Someone who has their hands dipped in many, many things that have to do with God. Amen. And he says, always, always let your life be like that, because it will not be in vain. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. And the word is labor, 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 labor. Jesus said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Do you get it? The laborers are few because the work of God is described as labor. Amen. It is described as labor. It is described as effort. It is described in terms of something that is difficult, isn't it? That is the same word that is used or applied to ladies when they are having babies. We say that they go into labor, isn't it? And labor is not fun. Do you get it? It's not fun. You know, they go into labor. It's a season of pain and difficulty and stress. Do you get it? But it's not in vain. Hallelujah. And the Bible is saying that the work of the Lord is labor. Wow. So if you're working for the Lord, expect that it will be hard. Wow. Are you getting it? Amen. Expect that it is hard. Expect that it is tough. Expect that it is painful sometimes. Expect that it is difficult, that it's stressful, that it wears you out and it tires you and it's exhausting. Wow. Are you getting it? That is how the work of God is. Amen. But the Bible says we must be steadfast. Look at it. It says be steadfast, unmovable. Now, this is somebody working for the Lord, and you're bringing encouragement to the person. And your encouragement is about being steadfast. That means he should stay on course and being unmovable. These are the two pieces of advice you have to give to the person. If the person is smart, he must understand what to expect from those two pieces of advice. Do you get it? Because what you could have said, you know, when someone is eating, for example, you don't tell them, be steadfast and unmovable. You say, bon appétit. You say, enjoy your meal. Do you get it? Because that's what's coming. That's what you know. You know, so that's the best wish for the person. Isn't that the case? Yes, but when someone is working for the Lord, you are supposed to wish them steadfastness, you get it, stability, and that they should be unmovable. Are you getting it? Yeah, when you see someone going on outreach, you're supposed to tell them, hey, I wish you steadfastness and be unmovable and keep abounding in the work. Do you get it? Because there must be something about working for the Lord that makes those qualities or elements necessary. Amen. And anyone who goes out working for God without those things often will quit. You quit. You try to plant a church without those things, you will quit. You'll stop. One day you put a sign, church closed. See, church no more, no more, church no more. Or pastor no longer called.
God forbid.
Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You must be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. And he says the anchor that makes that possible He says, for as much as ye know that your labor, your hard work, your efforts in the Lord are not in vain. Hallelujah. This is a very important point. This must come home very much with every one of us, that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Say it with me. Say, my labor in the Lord is not in vain. Say, my labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is not in vain. As you work for the Lord, labor for the Lord, get tired for the Lord, whatever it is you're doing for the Lord, you must know that it is not in vain. Hallelujah. It is a blessing to see lives changed right here on earth by what we do. But beyond this earth also, one day you will find out that the work that we did for the Lord actually did count for something. Are you getting what I'm saying? So much else that we do that engage us and that occupy us so much, with so much promise, in the end becomes in vain. So much that we do, you know, sometimes you work in a place and they promise you everything, and you work and find out that really it just came to nothing other than what all jobs come to, which is just something to eat, a way to pay your rent and your bills, buy a car, have a reason to go back and forth, up and down the streets, you know. Pretty much that is it. Do you understand? You think about it. Think about any job you've left before and ask yourself, what role does it play in your life today? Think about it. Think about those bosses that meant so much to you. They seem to be the main determinant of your future. Do you see? At the time, they looked like these are the people. You know, it looked like if you can get these people and win their favor, your life is actually set. Now, years after that, you look back and you just wonder, what role do they even play in your life? It's like all they did was fed you for that season of your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see that indeed, many things end up being useless in the end. But your labor in the Lord has eternal value. What you do for God has eternal value. Hallelujah. The Bible says when people die in the Lord, they are blessed. They are blessed because their works do follow them. That's what the Bible says. It says they are blessed. It says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are they which die in the Lord. You know, he says they have ceased from their labors and their works do follow them. The works do follow them. Their works do follow them. Hallelujah. Their works do follow them. But everything else we do does not follow us. It stops. Even sometimes it doesn't follow you into the next season of your life. Do you understand? It doesn't even follow you into... You know, I remember when Zoe was little, she used to play softball. You know, and at the time, it was like a big deal. It's like, she's going to become a superstar. Had us all running around, you know... You know, running around when she's late, it's like the world is coming to an end. You know, so much is happening. We have to remember to go pick her up, this, that. Just disturbing our lives and just move on right now. Now, there she is. You should just ask her. That's our softball champion. That's it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So at the time, it looked like the most important thing, and it looked like it was everything. Do you see? And while it lasted at the time, yes, it did look like that, and it really did look important. And we all respected it for what it was. And for the pleasure it gave, whether it was pleasure exercising or whatever it gave, my point is that it's finished. Do you understand? My point, she's not a softball coach. She's not a softball superstar. I have not earned any millions from her. Do you see what I'm saying? So a lot of things will have an end like that. Many things that look so important today will have an end similar to that. But the work of God, you will never be able to talk like this about the work of God the way I'm talking about softball. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You will never be able to say that it was in vain, because it was not in vain. Hallelujah. Now, what are some of the blessings or reasons why it's not in vain? Number one is that your sins are blotted out when you serve the Lord. Your sins are blotted out when you serve the Lord. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 21. It says, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Hallelujah. Now, look at the emphasis that God places on being his servant. He says, "You are my servant. I have formed thee. You are my servant. You are my servant. You are my servant. And you will not be forgotten by me." Are you getting it? I don't know. It sounds, as I look at the verse, it sounds like someone who has probably sinned or made a mistake or something, and is even afraid to approach God. And God is calling on him and saying, "Hey, look, you are my servant. You are my servant. I like you. I like you. You are my servant. I will never forget about you." He says, "You will never be forgotten by me." No, you will not be forgotten. Whatever it is, it says, "Like a cloud, I have blotted out your transgressions." I mean, when you blot something, it's a little different from wiping something. Do you understand? When you wipe things, you sort of smear it, you know. And sometimes you even leave traces. You get it. You sort of stretch it. But when you blot out something, it's like aggressive action attacking the thing on the spot and trying to contain it. Do you understand? Trying to prevent it from having any more influence than it already has. Do you get it? So we blot out things like what? Ink. When you spill ink, you don't want to wipe it. Because ink writes. If you smear it, it will just color. Do you get it? So it is unfortunate when we spill out ink or something like that. But then the solution is to go for it right where it is, and to sort of contain it, you blot it. And God says that your sins and your transgressions, this is how far they go. All right? Whatever harm they have already done, that's it. That is it. And I'm blotting it out. I'm taking it out. Hallelujah. God says that is a blessing for people who are called his servants. Hallelujah. So if you're a servant of God, know that God will show you mercy. No matter what happens, God will show you mercy. You must never give up on yourself. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on God. And never feel that God has given up on you. Hallelujah. Because God has promised, "I will never give up on you." He said, "Look, Jacob and Israel, thou art my servant. Remember these, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant." You belong to me. Amen. You belong to me. "And you shall not be forgotten of me." Hallelujah. See, we all make so many mistakes. And sometimes the enemy will just come around, make you feel like it is the end. This is it. This is it for you. You are done. There is no more hope for you. You've messed up. You know, you've blown your chances, and there's no more opportunity. But God says, no, not for my servants. My servants don't listen to the devil. They listen to me. Hallelujah. What I have to say about my servants is more important than what the devil has to say to and about my servants. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He says, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return to me. Come back. Come back. Do you get it? So instead of going away, instead of hiding, instead of giving up, I know some people who give up because they feel like they messed up too bad. There's no point in returning. It's like I've destroyed my life. You know, it's already finished. So there's no point trying to put it back together. I mean, you often hear older people say, even a few minutes ago, one guy was just saying, he's saying that, look, I'm the oldest here. He said, I'm 60-something or 67 or something like that, he said. He said he's the oldest guy there. You know, the park where you guys were on Sunday, yeah? He said, I'm the oldest guy here. So he says, come and talk to the younger people. It's like for him, it's finished. It's messed up. It's like his life is finished. But not so. The servant of God cannot think like that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I was sharing with you the other day how people like Moses, you know, when God called Moses to come and do this fantastic job for him, which is how we actually know Moses. You know, we know Moses mostly by what he did for God in relation to moving the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses was 80 years old when God called him to do that job. You know, there were 40 years ahead of him. 40 years ahead of him. You know, and he had run away thinking everything was finished. He had run away thinking he had messed up, thinking he had done something he shouldn't have done, was not sure how he could fix it, and thought this is just bad, 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 bad. I'm out of here. You know, and thinking he was running away, he actually ran into God's arms. And God was telling him, look, it's not finished at all. It's now starting. It's now starting. It's not starting. Delivering those Israelites from the Egyptians was actually rehearsal for the real deal. Do you understand? Because he saw an Egyptian and an Israelite fighting, and then he went after that one Egyptian, killed him, and rescued the Israelite. Not knowing it was practice. It was just a rehearsal. Do you get it? And when he looked at the situation, when he saw the two Israelites fighting the next day and found out that they had caught him, what he thought was a secret everybody knew. I mean, he was so discouraged. And he felt that, look, if these two people know, it means everybody else knows. So walking in town, he was not comfortable. He was thinking, when he passes someplace, everybody's look at the murderer. Even when someone looks at him because he's handsome or something, he's just thinking that this person is thinking I'm a murderer. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so he was not comfortable. And so he decided to run away. And when he ran away, God met him somewhere and told him, this is not it at all. It's interesting that when God met him, he didn't have anything to say about that murder case. God did not say a word about what Moses had done that had brought him there. You get it? He could have started a discussion from, you know, Moses, you know that you can run away from people, but I am the Lord. You cannot run away from me. And he could have used that as a blackmail tool to get him to work for him. You know, Moses, you know, you either work for me or I hand you over to the guys. And then Moses would say, Lord, okay. But that was not it at all. God didn't have anything to say about it. Nothing. You know, that's why you can't make someone's faults your front page headline story. You get it? Your life's mission is to spread it and to talk about it and to explain to people what is wrong with it, because you might be surprised that what you are talking about, God is not even saying anything about it. You get it? And it is because when God sees his servants, he says, I've blotted it out. I've blotted it out. It's gone. Are you getting it? Between you and I is not an issue. Come, let's talk about higher things. He said, I'm sending you back there. You see those guys? Which guys? The one you killed. I'm sending you back there to the headquarters. This time we're not releasing one Israelite. We're bringing everybody out. Everybody, yes. He says, animals too. He says, yes. What about the babies? They're coming out too. Moses says, wow, God, you are serious. Says, yes, I'm bringing everybody out. And guess what? I'm doing it through you. That's when the whole thing gets overwhelming. And Moses starts to think, Lord, you know, when it was one-on-one, you know, my speech was not a problem because I beat the guy. You get it? There was no discussion. I just gave him two blows and his neck was broken and he was gone. But the way this one is, if I'm going to bring everybody out, that calls for negotiation. That's exactly what I can't do. You understand? You know it. I cannot talk. He said, I have, you know, he said, Lord, you know, I've never been able to talk. Before you called me or after you called me, nothing has changed. You see the thing? And the guy is 80 years old and God is saying, no, you haven't seen anything yet. It's just beginning. Are you getting what I'm saying? So don't quickly disqualify yourself. Amen. When it comes to being used by God, don't quickly dismiss the possibility that God wants to use you to do something great, something you've never planned for yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Number two, reason why it is not in vain is because God's words are confirmed in your life. God will confirm his words in your life. That means God will honor the words that you speak. Hallelujah. God will honor the words that you speak. Isaiah chapter 44, still verse 24. It says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself, that frustrateth the tokings of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. Right? That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look, this is a very wonderful scripture, 5-star scripture. Again, start from verse 24. He said, that saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. So that means you and the Lord have a lot of history. You go way back, much further than you think, isn't it? Yeah. Right? The Lord who formed thee from the womb. Now he said, look, I am the Lord that maketh all things. I am the one who makes all things. Then he says, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself, etc. Verse 25, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad. Do you know why the diviners are mad? Because their prophecies did not come to pass. Do you get it? Their predictions didn't work out. Do you understand? He frustrateth the tokens of the liars. That means these guys who are lying and trying to set up people. And, you know, today I was watching something that someone sent to me. Some guy, I don't know what he is, but he mentioned some prophet, some pastor. And he says he's the one who has given that pastor power. Yeah. He said he's given that pastor power. And then he demonstrates it. And he says, do you remember how that this pastor called for fire or something like that? He said he called fire to come and burn something. Do you remember that? I'm the one who gave him that power. Then he also takes something and then he says, fire, come. Then the thing starts to burn. Do you see? So he's saying that he's the one and that pastor is a false prophet and that he gets his powers from him. Do you get it? Yeah. It was a small video clip I saw today. You see? So this now God is saying that he is the one who would, in such a circumstance, make that fire not happen. Are you getting it? I think a good example is the prophets of Baal. Do you get it? Because the prophets of Baal were pretty confident that they can call fire to burn this thing. Do you understand? That's why they showed up at the competition. When Elijah said that, look, everybody come. And everybody can bring a bull and you're going to kill your bull and you call fire from heaven to consume it. And they actually brought a bull. The prophets of Baal believed in themselves. They believed that, look, it can work. And they brought a bull. When Elijah killed his bull and prepared it, they also killed their bull and prepared it. So today be today. We'll see fire for fire. Then it was time to call on their gods. Then they started. They started to call upon their gods. They started to call upon him and make all sorts of chants and incantations and different things and so on. And the Bible says, I am the Lord. Where's the scripture? He says, I am the Lord who frustrates that thing. I am the Lord who cuts that off. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? I am the Lord who makes diviners mad. They were frustrated. They started to cut themselves. You know, they felt that maybe more sacrifice is needed. We have to shed human blood. We have to do this. They did all sorts of things. They didn't know that God had cut the thing. Do you understand? Yes. And then he says, he turneth wise men backwards. Do you get it? That's just someone who has a reputation for being wise. You get it? And then that person rather is the one going backwards. Do you understand? And he makes their knowledge foolish. He says, I'm the Lord. I make all things. I'm the one who makes everything. Do you see? But my favorite part is verse 26. He says, he confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Wow. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
That God will make something true because you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the reason why when a servant of God, a true servant of God, says something, be blessed. Yeah. You better believe it.
Amen.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
This is the reason why the prophecy you believe becomes the prophecy you experience. If it's coming from a man of God, a servant of God, it's not like the man knows it will happen. No, that's not what it is. But it is that God is pleased with him. That's my servant. I would do it because he said it. Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
See, I used to wonder, so is it that prophets have seen what God is about to do and they declare it? Do you understand? Or is it that because they declared it, then God will do it? Do you understand? But this is a scripture that answers it. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
I am the Lord who performeth the counsel of his messenger. That my messengers gave this counsel, I'm going to perform it. So you see a young person giving counsel, giving advice. And then it works.
Wow.
Do you get it? When I was a teenager, I used to advise married people. I didn't even have a beloved. Seriously, I did not even have a beloved. Not even a beloved. But I used to counsel married people. You see, Bishop Eddie is always laughing at me. You know, I used to counsel married people, and whatever I would say, it would work. But I didn't know. But this is it. Do you understand? God performs the counsel. So you see, that is why Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yeah, because God is with you. Now, in Mark, he says they went forth. Mark chapter, is it 16 and verse 20? Cowie, can you sort of take us there quickly and bring us back right to this place? They went forth and preached everywhere. Can you see that? They went forth, they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming their word with signs and wonders. God confirming whatever they said. So God will confirm their word. If they counseled somebody and said, look, this your decision is stupid. If that person disobeyed, they will see stupidity in the decision. And they will end up saying, the pastor said it. Are you getting it? God was confirming their word. Whatever they spoke, God would confirm the word with signs following. As they prayed for people to be healed, God will back, because they prayed and said, healing is coming here. God will confirm it with healing arriving at that place. Amen. This is a privilege of servants of God. Do you understand? It's a blessing from servants of God. Can you take us back there to the other one? 44:20. It says, the Lord confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. He performeth the counsel of his messenger. That's how you can confidently give somebody advice. If you are God's messenger, confidently you look at someone and say, look, this relationship, I think you should choose him. It will work. It's not because you are being prophetic, but you see, you are just saying something. And as you are saying it, because it's scriptural, God will make that count. God will perform it. Yes, the thing you said is what people are going to experience. Jean-Jacques, c'est bon? Comme ça? Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, as we get more intensely engaged in outreach, look, be confident. Do you understand? Pray for people. Prophesy unto them. Tell people you will never smoke again. Just say it. Do you understand? Yeah, just say it. If you like, take assurance in the fact that you may not meet him again. If it doesn't happen, you will know. If you like, let that be your escape, just mentally. But have faith. Do you understand? Pray for the sick. You see a sick person, don't shy away from it. Call the person. Can you bring that person to me? Bring that person to me. Do you understand? Just remember, you are a servant of God. You are a servant of God. You are a messenger of God. The only reason you are out there on that park is because you have a message from the Lord. That's the only reason why you're out there. You don't have any friends there. You're not out there to join in their picnic. You're only out there because you are a messenger of the Lord. So declare the counsel of God. Say what the Bible says. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what God said. So there's a sick person there. Lay your hand on the person and pray for the person. And God is going to perform your counsel. What you said, God. Give people advice. Counsel people by faith. Do you understand? Say to them what seems right to you according to the scriptures. Just what seems right to you according to the scripture. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. See someone getting involved with an unbeliever, and the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. Say it confidently. Do not be unequally. Do not marry this unbeliever. It will lead to a lot of sorrow. And God will perform your counsel. Do you understand? Yeah. In verse 25, it says, he embarrasses magicians. He frustrateth the tokens. The tokens are like the signs or symbols. Now, somebody have another version. It's like the signs and the symbols, you know, of these liars. And he makes them not work. Do you see? And he makes the magicians look ridiculous. And turns fortune tellers into jokes. Do you see the thing? Yes. He makes the experts look trivial and their latest knowledge look silly. And then verse 26. He backs the word of his servant. But he backs the word of his servant and confirms the counsel of his messengers. Wow. Is that powerful or not? Yes. God will back your words. God will back your words. So don't be afraid to say them. Do you understand? And don't, that's why you must, when you are receiving, like when Bishop is praying over us and receiving, you must receive them because God will do it. Even what he says, people are going to receive money on their phones. And then you see money starts showing up on people's phones. Yeah. You see money showing up on people's phones because God's servant said it. I haven't seen any phone in the Bible. And I haven't seen, there's no example of Elijah having phone, this, that. I don't see those. But you see that the man of God has said it. And because the man of God has said it, God arises to back it. Amen. Makes it happen. Makes this is why you must, when you see those prayers and things, don't find them ridiculous or it's like it's something we have too extreme or no. It's because you don't know the scriptures. If you knew the scripture, you would understand that God will back it because the man of God said it. Do you understand? He backs the word of his servant and confirms the counsel of his messengers. When his messengers give us, so his messengers always look wise. Don't you see how pastors always look wise? It's like, wow, wait, what he said, what do you think I should do? They seem to have answers to everything, but that's not really it. It is rather that when they say it, God makes it the answer. Do you understand? Yeah. Because he doesn't even know what will work. People are different. What may have worked here will not necessarily work here. But that's what you know. You just say it. When you say it, God makes that the answer because you said it. Amen. Joel, what did you say? New Living Translation.
I expose the false prophets as liars.
I expose the false prophets as liars.
And make fools of fortune tellers.
And make fools of fortune tellers.
I cause the wise to give bad advice.
I cause the wise to give people bad advice. Oh, there it is. Yeah, right there. I cause the wise people to give bad advice, thus proving them to be fools. And then what's next? But I carry out the predictions of my prophets. So when a man of God says, I see 15 people here receiving cars. You are not stupid. You did the right thing. It is the right and most appropriate response. Yes. Look at it. Look at the verse. It says, when they say, Jerusalem will be saved and the towns of Judah will be lived in. Once again, it will be done. When the prophet said Jerusalem will become a city again, they'll be saved
and the towns of Judah will be lived in once again. That's what will happen. That's what will happen. Because that's what they said. Is that powerful or not? So when you go out on outreach, look. Especially on outreach. Do you understand? And I'm saying outreach because that's the one thing you are so sure about. That God is happy every time you're out there. Why? Because that's why he sent his only begotten son. You get it. Anybody who's making that sending of the son make sense. I think God is happy with the person. What do you think? Yes. Anybody who is making some small effort for the son's blood that was shed on the cross not to be in vain. Small effort for the blood to wash an extra person. I think God is happy with such a person. So you can be sure that God is with you. It's also there in the scripture. He says, go, and as you go, he says, I'm with you always. So when you go on outreach especially, be bold. Do you understand? Make predictions. Tell somebody, I see you 7 days from now. You wake up with zero appetite for what you're smoking. You watch. Here is my number. Call me. Yes, you tell the person, call me in exact, don't call me 5 days, don't call me 4 days, call me exactly on the seventh day. You know, you can make it a little mystical. Yeah, just say exactly 7 days from now, at the same time, 4 p.m., call me. You will have a testimony. Amen. It's for everybody. For everybody. It's not for any special people. It's for everybody. It's the benefit of the servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is it not a blessing? I carry out the predictions of my prophets. When they say Jerusalem will be saved and the towns of Judah will be lived in once again, it shall be done. Hallelujah. So when a man of God says, you will never be poor. Amen. You should believe it. Believe it. That poverty is canceled from your life. Amen. Yes. And when you go to a man of God and he gives you advice, don't treat it on the same level as something you read from some book or some newspaper. Because even if his advice is not good, because advice is advice. In fact, there's nothing like good advice or bad advice. It's what God makes it. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's good advice based on what God makes it. And it's bad advice based on what God makes it. Do you understand? Because where is the 25? He said, look, where's the verse? I caused wise people to give bad advice. Why is the person called wise people? Wise people because he has a reputation for giving good advice. So his advice has worked before. Do you understand? But now God has gone behind it and he has twisted the whole thing some way. And the so-called good advice has become foolish. Do you understand? And the introduction, he says, verse 24, he says, I am the Lord, the creator. He says, I am the Lord who made all things. You know, and the earlier version we were reading, the King James says, I make all things. You get it? It's like God is acting. Things are made in real time. Do you understand? It's not like things are sitting on the shelf. Good advice, bad advice. No. It's advice on the shelf. Then God takes it and then he makes it good advice or makes it bad advice. It's like when you go to a Chinese restaurant, they've cooked plain rice. It's there. When you say, I want fried rice, then they take some of the fried. Say, what do you want? I want crab fried rice. Then they put crab in it and make it for you. You get it? Say, I want vegetable fried rice. They take it and they make that one for you. So it's not like when you go to a Chinese restaurant, they have vegetable fried rice waiting, crab fried rice waiting. What if people don't come and eat it? So there's nothing like that. They make your order. Are you getting it? Yeah, they make your orders. God is saying that advice is just telling somebody something. But God gets into what you said and he becomes good advice. God detaches himself from what you said and it becomes bad advice. From tonight, you'll be giving good advice to people. People who listen to you will be blessed in their lives. People who take your advice will see themselves come into a good place because they listen to your advice. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Close your eyes, everybody, and begin to thank God for making you his servant. Just say, Lord, thank you for making me one of your servants. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is such a privilege. It is such a privilege. It is such a privilege. It is such a blessing that you would use me. Tell the Lord, I'm blessed that you would use someone like me to serve you, to bring your word to people, to advise people, to pray for people for healing, to pray, bring deliverance to people's lives. It is my honor. It is a blessing. Yes, for me. It's a privilege, Lord. Oh, yes. I'm forgiven. 'Cause you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive. Well, your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Oh, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Oh, amazing love.
That you, my King, would die for me. Oh, amazing love,
amazing love.
I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Oh, in all I do, I honor you.
I honor you in all I do. Just, Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth. Thank you for all these amazing blessings hiding in your word for the servants of God. It is indeed a great thing to serve the Lord. It's a privilege. It's our honor, Lord, that we will be called your servants. We pray for steadfastness, Lord. We pray that we will not be moved by anything, by any circumstance, any difficulty, any disappointment, frustration, anything we didn't expect, oh God. We will not be moved, but we will always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that serving you is never in vain.
Jesus,
thank you, Holy Spirit.
We thank you, O God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing love, how can it be
that you, my King, would die for me. Oh, amazing love,
amazing love,
and I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you.
Amazing love,
amazing love, and how can it be?
Oh, that you,
my King, would die for me.
For me.
Oh, amazing love,
amazing love,
and I know it's true. Oh, it's my joy to honor you.
Oh, in all I do,
I honor you.
In all I do,
and in all I do.
I honor you in all I do,
in all I do.
Oh, I honor you in all I do,
and in all I do. I honor you.
Thank you, Lord, again for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul.